Thanks, everyone. Welcome. My name is Stephanie Amir. I'm from La Trobe University in Melbourne. And today I'm presenting on the topic of bisexual men living with HIV, health, connectedness and the impact of stigma. And as well as the researchers listed on the slide, I also wanted to acknowledge Anthony Lekas from the Melbourne Bisexual Network, who is really helpful in providing feedback for this project. So often research on people living with HIV groups together gay men and bisexual men in one group, but we have good reasons to believe that these two groups can have different experiences and different outcomes. So in particular, bisexual men often report poorer mental health. They've also been highly stigmatised in the HIV epidemic and into today, seen as a threat to women or seen as a carrier of HIV between gay and straight communities. So the experience that they have of HIV stigma is quite specific to being a bisexual man. We also know that bisexual men are less likely to be connected with the LGBTIQ community, possibly due to experiences of biphobia. And so as a result, they might have less access to peer support, to health information, and some of the other benefits that can come with community involvement. So the data I'm presenting today comes from HIV Futures 8. So it's a national survey of the health and wellbeing of people living with HIV in Australia. The data was collected in 2015-16, but we will be launching HIV Futures 9 tomorrow with data from last year and this year. So the survey, HIV Futures 8, had 250 questions across a range of different areas: demographics, health, wellbeing, stigma and other areas, qualitative and quantitative data. There were 895 people who participated in the survey, and they had the option of online or in hard copy, with people recruited mostly through support from community organisations as well as online advertising. And the data we'll be talking about today is specifically the gay men, 697, and 50 bisexual men. So there were some parallels in the experiences and reports from these two groups. So between gay and bisexual men, there weren't any significant differences between whether or not they were using ART, whether or not they had a detectable or undetectable viral load. There weren't many differences in alcohol consumption, smoking, and similar experiences of feeling understood and supported by healthcare providers. So in some areas, there were similarities. But there was a lot of areas where there were statistically significant differences. And I'm not going to read out all these numbers because I know it's hard to absorb a whole lot of numbers being talked at you. But the point to make here is that across the areas of mental illness, of general health, and the SF36 is a commonly used measure of health and wellbeing, the ability to navigate the healthcare system and engage with the healthcare system, whether or not people spend a lot of time with other people living with HIV, and also experience of stigma, bisexual men fared significantly worse than gay men in the cohort. And you can see that these were all statistically significant differences. And for the Berger Stigma Scale, which has been validated for people living with HIV, there's a few subscales beneath that. A higher score indicates a greater experience of stigma, and the pattern held for all areas of stigma. So it was quite a dominant experience. So that's some of the quant data. I also wanted to talk about some of the qualitative findings. So what we've got here is a list of themes that emerged from responses to the question, what if all has been your experience of feeling guilty, shameful or fearful of HIV? And in the survey, we also had a note asking people to talk about experience of disclosure of their HIV status. So you can see here that the themes between the two groups were very similar, though in some ways the experiences of bisexual men were different. For example, those men who were married, we've got an example of that on the next slide. But both groups spoke about fear of disclosure, including risk of rejection, judgment, being treated differently, breaches of privacy about people passing on the information about their HIV status. They spoke about shame, guilt, isolation, loss of relationships, impact on identity, sense of themselves and their goals and possibilities for their lives. Some people spoke about avoidance of people in relationships, either because of the fear of how people might react or following an experience where they had been treated really badly and decided, look, it's just easier if I don't try to get into a relationship. It's just easier if I keep to myself and I can't trust other people anymore. But others spoke about how important those connections were, family, friends and support support from organisations supporting people living with HIV. And there was a few themes that came up among the cohort of gay men, and because the sample sizes were quite different, there was more than 10 times as many gay men as bisexual men, it's possible that the diversity was a product of that larger sample size rather than a true difference. But there's also a theme among the gay men about fear of death, worry about their parents, and also impact on job and careers. So I've got some quotes here. These are all from bisexual men because I thought it was important to have their voices in the room and their experiences in their own words. So around the theme of rejection and social isolation, one person said, "Since diagnosis, I very rarely leave my home." Someone said, "This is an experience that seems specific to bisexual men for people who were married to women. I feel very lonely, even with my wife, who is still with me, but we live in separate rooms and I cook and wash for myself. I can't even kiss her and she does not want to eat anything I make and has heaps of disinfectants. And all this makes me feel unclean and unwanted," which is a pretty sad quote. Someone else said, "I yearn for love, but who wants me?" Around the theme of protection of privacy, someone said, "I tell no one. That way they do not have the pressure on them. Once told, you cannot untell." Someone else said, "I live in a very small community and I'm fearful of people finding out about my HIV status. As if it was common knowledge, I would have to move." Someone else said, "Like living in a bubble, you have to not burst it to reveal your inner feelings to others when sometimes it's overwhelming emotions inside." And this was part of a broader quote where the person clearly struggled with feeling like they wanted to talk about their experience of living with HIV, but also felt like it wasn't safe for them to do so. So they were constantly struggling to keep these feelings contained. Around the theme of a burden of discrimination, one person said, "I'm especially afraid that my employment would be at risk." Someone said, "I'm tired of being asked if I'm clean by people who want casual sex. This straight away makes me feel like damaged goods." And then I found this third one particularly shocking. I was called a biohazard by a nurse before an operation. Yeah. But there were a lot of positive quotes as well. So the theme around finding meaning through social connection, one person was talking about how important community organisations were and said the peer counsellors are amazing at what they do. Someone else spoke about how volunteering was really important to them. "I'm a strong leader in my community and volunteer very, very regularly. May as well be dead if not able to do that." And someone said, "The motivation of wanting to be alive and see my children grow to adults and start work, become successful, get married and start their own families." So that last quote was in response to a different question, which is around how people cope living with HIV and what can help them to get live a good life. So we also analysed the responses to that question. And there was quite a lot of overlap in the responses by gay and bisexual men, both groups talking about the importance of family and friends, determination or cultivation of resilience. Some people said they try not to think about it or focused on other things that were important to them. Some people spoke about how they focused on trying to control the parts of their lives that they could control, such as trying to eat healthily or do exercise or do a really good job in their place of work to create stability where they could to live a good life. And again, the theme around the importance of community services came up. But there was a significant group of people who were not coping, who were not okay. Their mental health seemed to be very poor and they were really struggling on a day-to-day basis. One difference we found between the group of bisexual men and gay men, and again it's hard to know, is there is a chance this could be a product of the differences in sample size, but there was a theme among the gay men of reframing stigma as an external problem or rejecting stigma that was directed at them. And we don't know why this is. One theory could be, if we know bisexual men have barriers to being involved in the LGBTIQ community, they might have less access and repetition of narratives around stigma as something that needs to be collectively resisted and the importance of community empowerment, and instead there's a higher risk perhaps of that they're internalising the stigma that they face. So two quotes. One says, "After several years I learned to be comfortable with it, I think living with HIV, and stop caring about what others thought of my status. I consider any negative reactions to be in others to be their problem and suggests that they seek counselling. Another person says, I know who I am, fuck off if you don't like it. So presented in pretty different ways, but you can see clearly these people understand that they don't deserve to be discriminated against, they don't deserve the stigma that they face, and that it's a collective responsibility to try to prevent HIV stigma. So that was something that didn't come up among the bisexual men, but we're not exactly sure why. Sure, thanks. So when I first started looking at the qualitative data, one thing I tried to do was to disentangle these two strands of biphobia and HIV stigma, and I couldn't disentangle them. They seemed to be very closely related and reinforcing each other. There also seemed to be a pattern around reinforcing, for example, people with poor mental health feeling more vulnerable and perhaps isolating themselves because they don't feel it's safe to be themselves and be open about their HIV status, for example, which did contribute to social isolation. We know social isolation is a risk factor for mental illness, so that was a bit of a loop as well. And similarly, some bisexual men spoke about the lack of visibility in the LGBTIQ community or within the community of people living with HIV, which was then a barrier to participation, which then means that there's less bisexual men potentially active in those groups, and this was all intertwined. So in terms of implications for practice, this is not my area of expertise, so I'd be very interested to talk to other people afterwards or as in the question time for this time. We believe that understanding how the experiences of bisexual men may differ from gay men might help to provide more tailored support. We know that community and social connections are important, and this research was consistent with that. Biphobia continues to be a challenge. And of course, while we need national, international level change, community level and individual level support remains a focus. So, to conclude, I'll quickly wrap up. So, in conclusion, bisexual men with HIV fare worse than their gay peers with poorer mental health, greater experience of stigma, and more barriers to navigating healthcare systems. Some of the experiences are similar, but coping responses might be slightly different. Stigma remains pervasive and continues to have negative impacts for, well, all people living with HIV. For bisexual men, the experiences of HIV stigma, biphobia, well-being and social connection and community inclusion cannot be disentangled. And while sometimes there are good reasons to group together gay and bisexual men living with HIV, potentially because of the difference in the cohort sizes way that people have reported, this could mask experiences that are specific to bisexual men that gay men don't experience. So I wanted to say a special thank you to everyone who participated in this project. Obviously, this is just a small piece of the big HIV Futures project. So thank you to everyone who participated. And we absolutely recognise that much of the fight against HIV and AIDS relies on people living with HIV continuing to put themselves forward. So this research is indebted to those people. Also, thank you to our community partners who've been crucial with recruitment, to the team at Arches, and to the federal government for funding. Thanks.